Welcome to the NASCAR Beat, the official podcast of NASCAR. Today, we take a look at the life and career of NASCAR Hall of Famer Cotton Owens. Welcome back to another edition of the NASCAR Beat. This is your host, Josh Hamilton, our second edition of 2013. Pleased to be joined again by NASCAR Hall of Fame historian, Buzz McKim. Buzz, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Last week, we went over the life and career of Leonard Wood. Today, we're moving on to another of the new Hall of Fame inductees, Cotton Owens. And let's just start off because I'm pretty sure his birth certificate didn't say Cotton.
Yeah, that's right. He was actually Everett Owens, and he got the name Cotton as a kid for his blonde hair, which actually was almost white. So that that kind of stuck with him throughout his entire life. And no matter who you were talking to within the racing community, if you mentioned the name Cotton, they knew exactly who you were talking about.
Cotton hails from Union, South Carolina, and was quite the legend on South Carolina dirt tracks, short tracks, even known as the King of the Modifieds back in the day.
Yeah, he won hundreds and hundreds of races. He was really the master. And, you know, some later guys were known as King of the Modifieds, but he was the first King of the Modifieds.
Now, for those listening, Modifieds were the original cars in NASCAR. There, you know, when NASCAR was formed in 1948, it was a modified division, not the strictly stock that we know today as a Sprint Cup.
Yeah, that's right. The strictly stock, which, as you say, we know today as a Sprint Cup, that division came about in mid-1949. And what had happened was the new cars were kind of hard. You know, they're a little rare. The manufacturers hadn't really geared up to full speed after World War II. So for the first year of operation, NASCAR chose to run nothing but the Modifieds, and then bring out the late model cars in mid-49.
And, of course, the Modifieds are still big hit today. Northeast, that's the focus, is the Modifieds. Richie Evans went into the Hall of Fame last year, also known as a King of the Modifieds.
That's right.
Union, South Carolina, relatively close to Spartanburg, and we already have a Hall of Famer from the area. Cotton joins them. Talking about Bud Moore, and back in the day, 50s and 60s, South Carolina was such a hotbed. Cotton, Owens, Bud Moore, Rex White, you know, and I know that they still kept together up until Cotton's passing just last year.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's right. Yeah, and then you also had David Pearson out of Spartanburg and also James Hilton from nearby Inman, South Carolina. He's almost a neighbor. So you had a tremendous amount of talent come out of that area. It's pretty remarkable. And Bud and Cotton were just a few years apart from each other age-wise, and one day we were over at Spartanburg, and Bud was kind of taking us around, showing us some of the sites, and he showed us the school where they both went to school in the first grade.
Wow. And we're definitely going to talk more about Pearson in a few minutes, because that's where Pearson's career started, and that's where Owens' owner career really hit off. Cotton was one of those men that, just like a lot of the early guys, a hell of a driver and a hell of an owner. Mm-hmm. You know, when Junior Johnson went into the Hall of Fame, he was a great driver, he was a great owner, put them together, I mean, he's a superstar. Cotton was one of those guys that also did it all.
Yeah, he sure did. His cars won 38 races, and he drove, of course, in the Modifieds, he drove in the Cup Series, he gave Pontiac its first win in NASCAR.
On one of the most unique courses NASCAR's
ever.
That's
right, the first, the 4.1-mile Daytona Beach road course. And then also he won the 1966 Cup Championship with David Pearson as driver.
Cotton's driving career didn't last as long as he would have liked. He had some vision problems that most people didn't know about. You can maybe talk about what caused that, how he got that condition, and how it prematurely ended his driving career.
Sure. One of the most important artifacts, I feel, from his collection, you'll be able to see in the Hall of Honor in his artifact case, is a plaque that he received from NASCAR. It's a heroism award. And he was racing here in Charlotte at the old Southern States Fairgrounds. And a fella wrecked right in front of him. And he had to make a split-second decision. Do I hit this guy or do I wreck my own car? And if he had hit the guy, he probably would have driven right through the car and killed the fella. So Cotton chose to take the other route, and he destroyed his own car and hurt himself pretty badly because of that accident. And it literally smashed the one side of his face, and he had those vision problems for years and years. It didn't seem to affect his driving too much because he was still a tremendous driver. But for somebody to do that, I thought that was pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and we found a pretty hilarious quote here. Cotton Owens in a 1984 interview said that the people I drove against, they didn't know I couldn't see them.
That's right. Hey, don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah. So unfortunately for Mr. Owens, you know, that caused a premature end to his career, having trouble seeing on the super speedways. But it opened up this amazing ownership career, owner, car builder, you know, even worked as what we consider now a crew chief on his cars. You mentioned 38 wins. His first win, 1960, Bobby Johns behind the wheel at Atlanta Motor Speedway.
That's right. Yeah, Cotton stuck with Pontiacs for quite a long time before he went over to Mopar in the early 1960s. But, you know, he also had Ralph Earnhardt drive for him. Yeah, Bobby got probably the biggest win of his career at Atlanta with a Cotton car. And also in 1963, Billy Wade, who was an up-and-comer, he won the Rookie of the Year championship with one of Cotton's cars. And then the following year, he went just about across the street over to Bud Moore's shop and went over and drove for Bud in 64.
Now, Cotton, he drove for himself as a team owner, won a few races in his own equipment. What really took them off, we alluded to earlier, was the pairing of him and his longtime friend, dirt track competitor, David Pearson.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Pearson was phenomenal. In fact, David said that, or Cotton said that he picked David because, well, number one, he had known him for a long time. He knew he had talent, but he said his driving style was very similar to Cotton's. And David was extremely good on the dirt. A lot of folks forget about that, but he was tremendous on the dirt tracks.
Their first pairing, 1963, they were winless. The following year, 1964, 8 victories, finished 3rd in the standings. Looked like they were ready to get something good started, but they lost support. 1965, mm-hmm. Chrysler's Hemi pulled the sanctioning body, NASCAR, banned the Hemi. Mm-hmm. That caused Chrysler to pull out of the sport.
Yeah, you know, Chrysler could have run a different engine, but there was... It just wouldn't have been that competitive, and from what I understand, that they might have been able to run the Hemi too, but there were so many restrictions on, you know, body style and weight and all that that it just was not beneficial for Chrysler to even compete. So during most of 1965, you very seldom saw a Chrysler product on the track, and so Cotton went drag racing with David Pearson. He had a Dodge Dart station wagon with the engine in the back of the car, and they called it the Cotton Picker.
You know, and it's funny when you talk about a driver's specialties. And nowadays, I mean, I couldn't even imagine taking a year off, going, competing in another series. Let's go drag racing, and then we'll come back the next year. And, you know, it's just such a one-track mentality now versus these guys, you know, racing on dirt. And yes, we'll be back at dirt in Eldora, but it's not the same as these guys back then.
No, not then. Now, it's a whole different ballgame now. One thing, too, I wanted to bring up about his modified series wins. You know, he won 3 times on Daytona Beach. He won the 53 and 54 modified race. Then he won that Grand National race for Pontiac in 57. But in 1953, he won that modified sportsman race, his first win on the beach. And he beat 135 other cars.
135
yeah,
cars.
Yeah, they had a field of 136. It was the largest in the history of NASCAR. And literally anybody who could hold a steering wheel was in that race. I mean, you talk about Fireball, Buck Baker, Curtis Turner, Buddy Schumann, everybody you can imagine. And not only did Curtis win the race, but he also set pole position. So he absolutely smoked the competition that year.
Wow. I can't even imagine that many. I mean... That field, that's unbelievable. Returning back after 1966, the drag racing experiment came back to a championship. David Pearson, Cotton Owens won the championship with 15 victories, finished nearly 80% of the races in the top 10 that season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were using that new super-duper slopey-back aerodynamic Dodge Charger, which really pretty much revolutionized the kind of cars that were being designed for NASCAR competition. Also that year, in the July race at Daytona, his teammate was none other than Mario Andretti.
I've heard that name before. Well, let's talk about some of these big names that drove for Cotton then. I mean, we mentioned, obviously, David Pearson, one of the biggest names, Mario Andretti. You have names like Junior Johnson, Bobby Allison, Fireball Roberts. I mean, these are just last week we talked about the Wood Brothers, all these great drivers driving for them. Cotton Owens in that same mold.
Yeah, he had Buddy Baker. You know, Buddy did extremely well with the Dodge Daytona in 1970. Got Cotton his Southern 500 win that he had been looking for a long time. And then later on in Cotton's career, he retired from the sport basically as an owner in 1973. But then he built and maintained cars for the country music legend Marty Robbins.
Wow. That is very interesting. And I want to go back to your Buddy Baker comment because it's one of the most iconic pictures in NASCAR, if you ask me. That car, the orange and black number six, the first car to turn a 200-mile-per-hour lap in NASCAR history.
Yeah, that's true. And it wasn't so much that particular car. It was a number 88 Dodge Daytona. They set it at Talladega. And Cotton had built and set up that car. And Buddy said that they could actually have run close to 210. But it was during a tire test for Goodyear. And the Goodyear engineer said, no, 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 we're only here to break 200. We don't have to go any faster than that. But, you know, Buddy, he had that heavy right foot. And he says, oh, come on, let me see what it'll do. And he said, no, this is enough.
I know we're jumping around a little bit here, but I want to go back to David Pearson. After that championship, he wasn't with Cotton too much longer. Left to drive for Holman Moody. Won a couple titles there, 68 and 69.
That's right.
Turned out to be a great move for him. But when we opened the show talking about the group from South Carolina, and you added David Pearson in, Pearson and Cotton stayed very close all the way up until Cotton passed away last year. They would regularly do lunches and breakfast together. And I know there was a larger group than just those two guys. If maybe give us a little behind the scenes on those fellas.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. The diner is called the Peach Blossom, and it's in Spartanburg. And to show you how long they've been going to that location, David Pearson met his wife, Helen, at the Peach Blossom back in the 1950s when she was a waitress there. But literally every day, Bud Moore and Cotton Owens would be there for lunch. And a lot of times, most of the time, David would be there, but he was a lot more active than those fellas. But to sit there and just listen to the stuff that was going on there, the stories that they would tell, was phenomenal. And when Cotton passed away, the family actually asked him to come sit with the family at the service. So that they really considered him part of the family.
Well, let's shift a little bit and wrap up, you know, amazing career, but amazing man as well. And if you ask any of his competitors back then, anybody that knew him, to describe Cotton, the word you would most often hear is gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he certainly was. He was a true Southern gentleman. Extreme family man, low-key, you know, never controversial. He just went about his business and, you know, basically let the car speak for itself. And he was phenomenal. And then after he totally got out of NASCAR, after the Marty Robbins years, he started setting up four-cylinder cars for his grandsons that raced at some of the local dirt tracks around Spartanburg. And, of course, you know, they were the hottest thing on the track. And once in a while, old grandpa would get behind the wheel and show the kids how it's done.
Wow.
So racing never, ever got out of his blood.
Well, unfortunately, the world lost Cotton Owens last June at the age of 88. I know he had been ill before that quite some time, but he did know that he made it to the Hall of Fame, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, he was well aware, and it wasn't too many days later that he finally passed away.
So maybe holding on for that last hope, you know, waiting to hear that vote at the end of May, and sure enough, Cotton Owens inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. He's quite a guy, and we're so delighted to have him in the Hall, and he certainly is deserving of the honor.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Buzz. The NASCAR Hall of Fame induction ceremony, Friday night, February 8th. Tickets available at NASCAR Hall of Fame box office, NASCARHall.com, NASCARAcceleration.com. It'll be live on Speed Channel, but we would love for you to come join us. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Thanks for listening to the NASCAR Beat. If you're new to this podcast and want to subscribe for free, go to the iTunes store and type NASCAR Beat into the search engine. We have race previews and recaps, industry profiles, and much more. We also take weekly fan questions for NASCAR Director of Competition R&D, Brett Bodine. Brett is a former driver and owner at almost every NASCAR level, currently drives a pace car for Sprint Cup Series races. If you have any racing questions about NASCAR rules and technical elements, Brett is your guy. Send an email to nascarbeat@nascar.com and tune in to future podcasts to see if your question was selected. If you're looking for more NASCAR information, join us on our social media outlets, including our online home at NASCAR.com. You can also find us on Twitter, @NASCAR, and on Facebook at Facebook.com/NASCAR.